Ficta Inferno is explicit in every way.
Hello. It feels like it's been forever, but that's because we've all been busy.
Yeah, I've just been, I was like, oh dear Lord.
Oh yeah, no, it's definitely I mentioned this in the bonus episode that I posted up, like, this Sunday. I read some stories from Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark.
Okay.
Because I thought that was fitting. I mentioned there that I have started a new job working as a bookseller at a store that will not be named because I do not speak for the brand or company. I just have to throw that out there. It's been actually a lot of fun. For me, at least. Like, I know all jobs have their ups and downs, and I haven't found any down quite yet. It's just a matter of I need to figure out my hours and availability, and I'll probably end up changing some stuff this upcoming month or so, just to say, hey, this is what I need to be more solidified in terms of, like, days and so forth, so we're not, like, struggling to figure out a day to record.
Sure. Yeah, because it's obviously I'm at my job at a very well-known national department store that will also not be named. And it is the most wonderful time of the year already.
Yeah, because everyone likes to put out all their Christmas stuff. I mean, for sure, we already have some Christmas stuff coming out, like just cards and some advent calendars and so forth. I know in, like, stores nearby, like, I go to the crafting store, Michaels, just because I need yarn and some, I don't know how I lose my number 5 crochet needle all the time, but I lose my number 5 crochet needle all the time. So I went to get another crochet needle, and they just had a bunch of their Christmas stuff, and a lot of their Halloween stuff was already on sale, so it's just kind of crazy.
Yeah, if you go downstairs, so my job is split into 3 levels. So if you go to our lowermost level, right as the elevator door opens, it is Christmas.
Oh, God.
Yeah, like fully built.
That's terrifying. And
I know.
What's even more terrifying?
This book?
Twilight, yeah.
Nailed
it. Chapter 2, which is called Open Book, and you get to start us off this time.
Oh my God, I had my book open. It's like a sign.
Oh my God.
The chapter is called Open Book. Oh my God. And my book was open.
It's like it was meant to be.
It's like it's almost like I have to open the book in order to read it.
Right? Oh my God. That's so crazy. Such a crazy concept that you have to open the fucking book just to read it.
Day was better, dot dot dot, and worse. It was better because it wasn't raining yet, though the clouds were dense and opaque. It was easier because I knew what to expect of my day. And mind you, it's only the second day.
It's only the second day of her new school.
Yeah, and she's apparently already got a schedule. Like, ha, that's funny.
Oh, boy.
Came to sit by me in English and walk me to my next class, with Chess Club Eric glaring at him all the while. That was flattering. Okay. People didn't look at me quite as much as they had yesterday. I sat with a big group at lunch that included Mike, Eric, Jessica, and several other people whose names and faces I now remembered, but they don't get to be named.
They're just nameless, even though you know their names. They just, you don't get to name them. Also, remember how she said previously that she's terrible with names? So, like...
So, in the course of, like, a day, roughly 24 hours, a little bit less.
It's... I've been at my... Again, this is different, but it's like I've been at my job for a few weeks and I still have, like, to take a moment to remember it. What's this person's name again?
There's just too many of us. I know who's who, like, in where I work. But it's like, I haven't even started meeting.
Oh my god, guess who joined me?
Is it... Oh boy, it could be any... It could be anyone.
It could be any cat.
It could be... Is it Booker?
No.
Is it Eddie?
Yes.
There we go. I was Nim. Like, it's either Booker or Eddie.
It was Nim was already sitting on the bed with me. Thank you very much. Eddie just jumped up on me. Yes.
Hi, Eddie.
He knew we were reading Twilight, so we had
to come by. I miss your silly face.
Such a silly face. He's so cute. He just follows Booker around.
Oh. I began to feel like I was treading water instead of drowning in it. It was worse because I was tired. Fucking same, Bella.
Oh my god, that is like the consistent attitude of being anything.
I still couldn't sleep with the wind echoing around the house.
It's ghosts.
Yes. It was worse because Mr. Varner called on me in Trig. When my hand wasn't raised and I had the wrong answer. Oh no!
Oh no! I don't want to sound like a dick, because does that happen? I can't remember. Does that? I don't think I've ever had that happen to me.
I mean, sometimes it did, if like we weren't being very lively in class.
Oh yeah, no, if it... I remember that whole thing where it's like, if no one was raising their hand at all, then someone random would just be called on. But it was never a whole, if someone was raising their hand and they knew the answer, he would just... I don't think I ever had it where it's like, if someone knew it, then they would like call on someone who wasn't like raising their hand or something.
Yeah. And of course, people who would raise their hand would get it wrong. So, you know.
It's... trial and error.
Yeah. It was miserable because I had to play volleyball. And the one time I didn't cringe out of the way of the ball, I hit my teammate in the head with it. And it was worse because Edward Cullen wasn't in school at all. Imagine thinking your day is just like the worst because some rando guy isn't at school.
He's not here today. My life is... worthless. Already,
that was the extent of my problems.
Already, she's losing her sense of self. That's the true horror.
I don't think she has one.
Exactly.
All morning, I was dreading lunch, fearing his bizarre glares. Part of me wanted to confront him and demand to know what his problem was.
Again, he has to take a shit. But the shit's not coming out. And he has these rancid farts. And he can't smell.
But everybody else can.
Yeah. You just got people puking in garbage cans. Gotta open all the doors all the time.
While I was lying sleepless in my bed, I even imagined what I would say. Because I knew myself too well to think I would really have the guts to do it. I made the cowardly lion look like the Terminator.
Hey, the cowardly lion in the book actually did defeat something. I can't remember what. Also, Eddie's trying to say something, but he's not in the room anymore, but he left, and now he's like meowing, and I'm like, what do you want?
He wants... a sense of purpose.
He probably wants attention, but it's like, Eddie, you have to come in here to get the attention.
Yeah, we're in here, Eddie.
Eddie, I'm in here. You can't. I'm not going to come out there. You have to come in here. He's always like this.
But when I walked into the cafeteria with Jessica, trying to keep my eyes from sweeping the place for him and failing entirely, I saw that his four siblings of sorts were sitting together at the same table, and he was not with them.
He was probably trying to take his shit in the bathroom.
Yeah, like, goodness me, Bella.
Even though we know that's not the case, because we've read this before. But still.
Mike intercepted us and steered us to his table. Jessica seemed elated by the attention, and her friends quickly joined us. They don't get to be named. As I tried to listen to their easy chatter, I was terribly uncomfortable, waiting nervously for the moment he would arrive. I hoped that he would simply ignore me when he came and prove my suspicions false, except she wants his attention, but she hopes he will ignore her.
But she wants his attention.
Yeah.
I mean, if I hadn't, I mean, if that doesn't scream teenager to me, that's pretty teenagery.
All right. He didn't come, and as time passed, oh my god, everybody just is so loud lately.
I mean, they gotta be loud. How else are you gonna know that they drive a truck?
Oh yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, I could have just used my eyes.
No, you have to use all of your senses.
He didn't come, and time passed. I grew more and more tense. I walked to biology. Not sure why that's a proper noun.
Because biology is a proper noun, I think, in terms of, like... I think if you're talking about the class, it is.
Okay. Yes. I'm sorry. I forgot that little rule there.
I think.
I walked to biology with more confidence when, by the end of lunch, he still hadn't shown. Mike, who was taking on the qualities of a golden retriever, walked faithfully by my side to class.
He likes you, Bella. Shut up. Get over it, Bella. He likes you.
I held my breath at the door, but Edward Cullen wasn't there. Either. Big pause there, only for a comma. That was my bad. I exhaled and went to my seat. Mike followed, talking about an upcoming trip to the beach. He lingered by my desk till the bell rang. Then he smiled at me wistfully and went to sit by a girl with braces and a bad perm. Hey,
Shut
now.
Up. I don't trust Bella's judgment over whether it's bad. How, okay, if she's so not like other girls, then how would she know if it's a bad perm or not? Tell me this. Riddle me this, fuckers.
I don't even know what a bad perm is. I know what a perm is, but I've never seen one that's like, you know, bad.
I think what comes to mind is, like, you know, like, in the 60s, you know how, like, tight the curl, like, how they wore their hair, like, kind of, like, in that beehive-y way, and, like, sometimes there were just, like, curls like that.
Yeah.
I feel like maybe like that, but at the same time, if she likes it, she likes it.
Yeah. Fuck off, so, Bella.
Bella's kind of a mean girl.
I know. Also, like, a lot of people have braces. In high school. And beyond.
Oh, yeah. No, there are a lot of... It's been... I don't want to say, like, it's a trend, but I've noticed a lot more people, like, in their 20s, like, either early, middle, or late 20s, even 30s, with braces, like, adult braces.
And it's... There's obviously more than just cosmetic reasons to get your teeth fixed.
Oh, yeah. No, it's like... It's not just so they look straight. Sometimes you need to have them set straight or else your teeth will just grow super fucked up.
Like mine.
Like Saya's.
I didn't get braces. I've never had braces or any sort of liners. But I really have to say that when I had 5 of my 7 wisdom teeth removed, and my lower teeth were really impacted, and having them spread back out was a very painful process.
And this is why we say that Saya is kind of a mutant, because she had 7 wisdom teeth.
Yeah, I still have 2, and they think I should make jewelry out of them if I ever get them removed.
You know, that would be kind of cool. It'd be
because
sick.
They're really little.
You could have some Victorian, like vintage Victorian jewelry.
Out of my own teeth.
Yeah.
The thing is I'm just not sure. So none of the original 5 were removed intact.
Oh. I mean, if they're tiny enough, you probably could remove them pretty intact.
The issue is that in order to avoid, so I had to have like a special facial surgeon do it, do my surgery. I had full on surgery for this, as they were it kind of intertwined with my nerves in my jaw, and they were in my jaw. I mean, teeth are already in your jaw, but they were like, you know, further in than normal. For everybody who doesn't know. And in order to remove them safely, what they have to do is none of them were through the gum line. So what they had to do is open the gum line, and then they were like kind of force crushed apart in a way that broke the tooth and allowed them to kind of pull it out to not sever any of the nerves. So yeah, that was fun. I did that a month before I graduated from school.
Yeah.
Obviously you knew that because we were friends at that time, but I really gotta say, you know, trying to graduate after having 5 teeth, like, force crashed out of my head was a lot.
Yeah, and then everyone knows that, like, a few years, 2 years ago now, I had my wisdom teeth and another tooth removed just because of how damaged it was because of said wisdom tooth.
Oh, yeah. I have tons of problems with my teeth now because of my wisdom teeth.
No, yeah, I only had 2 wisdom teeth ever. Just 2.
Would you like some of mine?
No, thank you. The surgery alone was enough.
Oh, right. Were yours through? I forgot.
Yeah, emerged, and that's why, like, there was some... That's why I had the one tooth that was, like, really damaged and hurting.
Yep. Okay. Yeah, and I've actually just recently finished up quite a bit of my dental work to fix these teeth. This is so adult, which is funny because it's related to teeth and braces, but I had to have a tooth re-root canaled, which I had done a little bit ago, like kind of in the spring. But they were able to save my crown, so I don't have to get a new one.
Nice.
And I had that appointment on Thursday, and they were going to do the crown build-up and all that noise. And then my dentist, who is ridiculously hot, hopefully he never listens to this.
Oh, God.
told me that we could save the crown, and I could make the decision to just have the temporary filling that the endodontist put in, removed and refilled with a permanent. And I'm like, yeah, I don't want to get a new crown on this bitch. So yeah, they saved my crown. So now I don't have to pay out thousands of dollars to get a new one.
Which is always great.
I know. Also,
that's the other thing that's like kind of been a thing for like having it difficult for us to record is because of your dental appointments.
Yeah, it's you know, now that I'm done, hopefully, I'm still having a little bit of problems with some sensitivity on my back left side, which is where I had the most amount of teeth. So I had that one redone, and it was not very pleasant. The first time I had it done, I ended up getting sick because I could feel it. So I had to have a bunch of anesthetic. But I had it redone, and I'm still having some sensitivity issues with it. So I'm really hoping that I'm not going to have to get it root canaled and crowned. But, you know, if it is that way, so be it.
And let's hope that your teeth stay fine.
Yeah, I mean, after the teeth were able to separate a little bit more, I still have very bad issues with my periodontal disease, just because my teeth are still so impacted, even though they spread out. So it makes it difficult for me to, like, floss. I can't do it easily.
Have you short? I mean, do you have a water pick?
I do, but they don't want me to use it.
Oh.
Yeah. So the way that periodontal maintenance works, I don't know if, have you ever had anything dealing in that area of stuff?
No.
Okay, so my periodontal disease is based on how impacted my teeth were and how long, because I graduated, what, at 21? I had just turned 21 that summer. Which meant that my teeth had spent quite a many years impacting. And they actually still shift around quite a bit. But the spaces in between my teeth are so tight that the only way to actually get in there is with a very thin floss, but it breaks easily because the teeth are so close.
Eesh.
And you have to use so much force. Like when I had the when they were flossing out the tooth on Thursday after they finished the actual filling in the crown, my teeth kept breaking the floss.
That's fucking terrifying.
I know. That's how tight my teeth are. And my face was already hurting because it's my back right tooth that has crown on it. So they have to get way back there.
This is why you're a fucking gremlin, Saya.
I know. I'm just like, so anytime that I have any sort of flossing done on my bottom teeth, almost any of my bottom teeth, the floss breaks a substantial amount of times before they're even done. So if that's any indication of how close my teeth are, the closer your teeth are, the less you're able to get in and regularly clean and flush out your own gum line. Shit. Which creates kind of like an infection, and they'll just kind of be touchy and sore. It's not like something that, you know, is super noticeable unless you're aware that I have periodontal disease. But just due to that, and like, I would have much rather have chosen to get braces like in my formative teen years than dealing what I have been dealt in my whole 20s.
That is understandable.
This has been a fucking saga because, again, I started this fix when I was 21.
Yeah.
I'm going to be 29 next year. That's 8 years of fixing my fucking face. Because of some teeth. Fuck you, teeth. And that's actually, again, the not going into this too deeply, just due to, I don't know how much Merc wants me to say about it versus not. But that's the reason that they were going with that Merc got sick and ended up in the ICU was an
ulcer and
undetected infection in the jaw.
Yeah, like that honestly makes sense, which is terrifying.
It's terrifying. Like, it terrified me to think, because I'd had an abscess under the tooth that had the crown on it because I couldn't feel it.
Yeah.
I don't have any nerves in it. And it was like the same thing could happen to me. And like, that's terrifying.
So, all in all, kids, go to the dentist, even though I haven't been since I did my surgery, but that's because I'm poor as shit. I don't have
it's expensive as shit to have
it. Is.
And they don't cover like fuck all anything.
Yeah.
Like they gave me white composite, which I'm now learning the hard way that it's really testy when it's setting. It takes about 2 to 4 weeks to set. If it goes right. And my insurance, even though I pay for the highest tier of the insurance, doesn't cover white composite.
What the fuck?
I know. So it's like my services were sent off to the insurance, and then I went in to have a follow-up, and they were like, okay, so you have a balance, and I'm like, oh, did they not cover the white composite? Because I already knew that. So, yeah, now I have to pay for the white composite. And in all honesty, I don't care what composite they use because it's my back teeth. But
yeah.
This has been such a nightmare, which it's just been the worst. But yeah, Bella. Stop judging people's braces.
And their perms.
Yeah. Rude ass bitch.
Oh, God.
It looked like I was going to have to do something about Mike, and it wouldn't be easy. Just tell him you're not interested, Bella.
Just
Jesus Christ.
Or lead him out to a secluded area, stab him, and hide the body in a vertical grave.
Yes. Perfect.
God.
In a town like this, where everyone lived on top of everyone else, diplomacy was essential.
Or murder.
I had never been enormously tactful. I had no practice dealing with overly friendly boys. What if he's literally just being nice?
What if he is? Like, what if he is just being a very friendly person? Because it's like, oh, she's the new girl. She's kind of really full of herself. So what if I just was a friendly dude? And then it goes into this and he's like, whoa, what? No, I don't like you like this. But we all know that Mike kind of had a crush on her.
Yeah. Be quiet.
But I kind of like that version better of him just being a nice... I want to believe in someone just being a nice dude, just to be a nice dude.
We're going to go with that. That's our iteration.
That's my headcanon.
I was relieved that I had the desk to myself, that Edward was absent. I told myself that repeatedly, but I couldn't get rid of the nagging suspicion that I was the reason he wasn't there.
No shit.
Bella, calm down. It was ridiculous and egotistical to think that I could affect anyone that strongly. It was impossible, and yet I couldn't stop worrying that it was true. When the school day was finally done and the blush was fading from out of my cheeks from the volleyball incident, I changed quickly back into my jeans and navy blue sweater. I hurried from the girls' locker room, pleased to find that I had successfully evaded my retriever friend for the moment.
Hold on, wait. Did we get like a whole synopsis of the whole day before?
Yeah, and then it goes back to the end of the day, gym class.
Oh, God. Why didn't I? What the fuck?
That was the worst.
This is
it
the
took
worst.
Me a second.
This is wow. Okay.
I walked swiftly out to the parking lot. It was crowded now with fleeing students. I got in my truck and dug through my bag to make sure I had what I needed. What are those things? We just don't know.
Murder last things. Night...
The cursed amulet.
That works too. But no, the way that she did say taking care of Mike, it low-key sounded like she was going to murder him.
Oh, definitely. She was going to hand him the cursed amulet.
And make him deal with it.
Yeah.
And then he dies inevitably from the cursed amulet. Because he doesn't know how to deal with it. For some reason, yeah. The cursed amulet never killed Bella. And that's because Bella... Well, it has tried, but it never worked because Bella is just Bella.
And then because... How Stephanie Meyer wrote Bella in this book, everybody would just be fine dying for Bella over the cursed amulet.
Yeah.
Cringe. Last night, I discovered that Charlie couldn't cook much besides fried eggs and bacon. So I requested that I be assigned kitchen detail for the duration of my stay. He was willing to hand over the keys to the banquet hall. I also found out that he had no food in the house. So I had my shopping list and the cash from the jar in the cupboard labeled food money. I was on my way to the Thriftway. Be quiet. Groceries
from the Thriftway.
It's the thrift store, but for groceries.
It's people donating gently used food. It's not what you think, like, as a food bank where it's like canned stuff and like things that are like wet, like storageable. No, it's like a half-eaten banana.
Yes, it's gently used.
Yeah.
I gunned my deafening engine to life, ignoring the heads that turned in my direction, and backed carefully into a place in the line of cars that were waiting to exit the parking lot. As I waited, trying to pretend that the ear-splitting rumble was coming from someone else's car, I saw the two Cullens and the Hale twins getting into their car. It was a shiny new Volvo, of course. I hadn't noticed their clothes before. I had been too mesmerized by their faces. Now that I looked, it was obvious that they were all dressed exceptionally well, simply, but in clothes that subtly hinted at designer origins.
Which I call bullshit in a high school setting. Or I want to.
I want to as well, but I wouldn't be, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if that was not so.
I mean, I expect it from the Cullens, but, like, these are people that are, they're trying to blend in.
But they do an absolutely horrible job of
it.
They
do such a shit job at it. It's, like, wearing designer clothing to a middle, like, a just... high school is like asking for trouble. Like, oh, it's lab day and you get like what, petri dish residue on your designer boots. Great.
I'm just like trying to think, like, how is Carlisle a doctor? Like, does he go to college every so many years to obtain a new doctorate?
I feel like he fakes his medical license.
Oh my god. That's terrible.
Yeah. It's illegal.
With their remarkable good looks, the style with which they carried themselves, they could have worn dish rags and pulled it off. It seemed excessive for them to have both looks and money. But as far as I could tell, life worked that way most of the time. It didn't look as if it bought them any acceptance here. No, I didn't fully believe that. The isolation must be their desire. I couldn't imagine any door that wouldn't be opened by that degree of beauty. Calm down, Bella.
Again, I know, high schooler, but it's like, it's this whole superficialness that gets me.
Yeah. They looked at my noisy truck as I passed them, just like everyone else. I kept my eyes straight forward and was relieved when I finally was free of the school grounds. The Thriftway was not far from the school, just a few streets south of the highway.
I picked up some wilting baby spinach and a half-eaten grape.
Yes. Just one grape.
Just one grape.
It was nice to be inside the supermarket. It felt normal. I did the shopping at home, and I fell into the pattern of the familiar task gladly. The store was big enough inside that I couldn't hear the tapping of the rain on the roof to remind me where I was. You still didn't have to go, Bella, you fucking idiot.
Oh yeah, no, she didn't have to go.
When I got home, I unloaded all the groceries, stuffing them in wherever I could find an open space. I hoped Charlie wouldn't mind. I wrapped potatoes in foil and stuck them in the oven to bake, covered a steak in marinade, and balanced it on top of a carton of eggs in the fridge. When I was finished with that, I took my book bag upstairs before starting my homework. I changed into a pair of dry sweats, pulled my damp hair up into a ponytail, and checked my email for the first time. I had 3 messages. I'm calling bullshit on how motivated a teenager is to do all this.
To check their email?
To start dinner. Well, to start their homework.
I will give credit for this if Bella is someone who's grown up as someone who's independent.
That's true.
And also she offered to take charge of, like, doing all of the food and grocery-related stuff because Charlie can't cook.
That's true.
But it's also this whole Stephanie Meyer putting it on the woman to do all of the, like, cooking-related stuff.
Bella, my mom wrote, write me as soon as you get in. Tell me how your flight was. Is it raining? I miss you already. I'm almost finished packing for Florida, but I can't find my pink blouse. Do you know where I put it? Phil says hi, Mom. I sighed and went to the next. It was sent 8 hours after the first. Bella, she wrote, why haven't you emailed me yet? What are you waiting for, Mom? The last was from this morning. Isabella, if I haven't heard from you by 5:30 p.m. today, I'm calling Charlie. I checked the clock. I still had an hour, but my mom was well known for jumping the gun. Mom.
Okay. It's her teenage daughter.
Yeah.
That she hasn't heard from in a few days, and it sounds like Charlie hasn't said anything to her either, like shooting her a message like, hey, Bella made it here, okay? As much as I like slandering Renee, she's kind of justified to be worried. But she's also a dumbass being like, Bella, have you seen my pink sweater? I haven't seen it. She's not there, Renee! She can't fucking find it for you, Renee!
Make Phil find it, Renee!
God damn it, Renee! Nim's just like, what the fuck, Mom? She's, like, trying to nap. And I'm just, like, keeping her from napping, I guess, because I'm shouting, but no. But no. Like, okay, 2 in 1 day where it's, like, okay, that might be a little bit excessive, but it's, like, if it had been the one email, and then it's, like, okay, you haven't heard from your daughter, and it sounds like since she got there, so I want to say it's been at least, like, 48 hours?
Almost 3 days.
So, we're going on, like, 72. So, it's like, yeah, no, that'd be worrisome.
Oh, right.
For your teenage daughter to not contact you. And, I'm assuming, like, she hasn't heard from Charlie. So, it's also, like, for all she knows, they could have gotten into an accident on the way into Forks.
Yeah.
and just haven't been notified yet.
No, Bella. Mom, calm down. I'm writing right now. Don't do anything rash. Bella. I sent that and began again. Mom, everything is great. Of course it's raining. I was waiting for something to write about. School isn't bad, just a little repetitive. I met some nice kids who sit by me at lunch. Your blouse is at the dry cleaners. You were supposed to pick it up Friday. Charlie bought me a truck. Can you believe it? I love it. It's old, but really sturdy, which is good, you know, for me. Because I'm clumsy. We get it, Bella. We get it.
I get into a car crash at least once a week back home.
I miss you, too. I'll write again soon. But I'm not going to check my email every 5 minutes. Relax. Breathe. I love you, Bella. I had decided to read Wuthering Heights, the novel we were currently studying in English, yet again for the fun of it. I've never read it. I've had no intention of reading it.
Neither have I. Just know it's just whiny, 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 whiny.
That's whiny. Why she likes it.
Yeah. Again, we have allusions to Romeo and Juliet here, and it's like, I know, it's like, I had this thought yesterday because I was shelving Romeo and Juliet, or I was like at least going through the section and like making things look neat. And I look at it and I just had that thought of like teenagers that think that this is the epitome of romance and all that classy bullshit. It makes me want to gag.
Ugh, cringe.
Hell, even like adults that think this is the epitome of romance. I'm like, no, it's really not.
I'm just really not too sure like what's more cringy, like Romeo and Juliet being the epitome of romance or Joker and Harley Quinn being the epitome of romance.
Both.
Oh yeah, they're both awful, but it's like,
which one's cringier? Well, at least with Romeo and Juliet, they actually legitimately loved each other and it wasn't an abusive relationship between the both of them.
That's true.
While with Harley Quinn and Joker, that was a toxic ass relationship.
Thunderdome. Cringe relationships.
Which is worse.
And that's what I was doing when Charlie came home. I'd lost track of time and hurried downstairs to take the potatoes out and put the steak in to broil. Bella, my father called out when he heard me on the stairs. Who else? I thought to myself.
Fucking cryptids, man.
Could be a burglar. You don't know.
Could be Edward.
It could be.
I mean, he has broken entering, but that doesn't come yet.
Hey, Dad, welcome home. Thanks. He hung up his gun belt and stepped out of his boots as I bustled about the kitchen. As far as I was aware, he'd never shot the gun on the job, but he kept it ready because you have to, Bella, you fucking idiot.
It's kind of a thing, but you also like make sure it's not like armed and
safety's on.
Yeah, safety, bullet out of the chamber. Yeah. Because, you know, that's responsible gun ownership.
There's a difference between having one as a job. Like, yeah, it's loaded because you probably don't have time to load it in the moment.
Yeah, but I know that there are some officers who do, like, if they have young kids, before they even enter the home, they, like unclip the bullets and, like, just, like, take the bullet out of the chamber before they even enter the house.
Yeah, it's... There's a lot of nuances. It is, you know. When I came here as a child, he would always remove the bullets as soon as he walked in the door.
Yep.
That's also just responsible gun ownership.
Yeah.
That's not just because you're a child, Bella.
I think it's, like, partial responsible gun ownership, and then, like, even doing it before entering the house, it's because, like, I don't want to risk it.
Yeah. It fits into the category of responsible gun ownership.
Oh, yeah.
I guess he considered me old enough now not to shoot myself by accident, and not depressed enough to shoot myself on purpose.
Was that in there?
Yeah.
What the fuck?
I didn't just make that up.
I thought you made that up for a second.
No.
What the fuck? Holy shit, Bella.
You see, I'm allowed to make that type of humor.
I mean, same, because, well...
I'm allowed to make that type of humor because I have mental illness.
I also have mental illness, but I'm like, oh boy, that's a loaded question and statement.
What's for dinner? He asked warily. My mother was an imaginative cook, and her experiments weren't always edible. I was surprised and sad that he seemed to remember that far back.
Well, no shit. That was probably a traumatizing time in his life because his wife left him.
Yeah.
Also, like, I'm going to go with Renee probably created, like, actual life at some point in the kitchen. And immediately its first words were, kill me.
Like a homunculus.
Or a chimera. Oh god, Full Metal Alchemist flashback.
Steak and potatoes, I answered, and he looked relieved. He seemed to feel awkward standing in the kitchen doing nothing. He lumbered into the living room to watch TV while I worked. We were both more comfortable that way. I made a salad while the steaks cooked and set the table. I called him in when dinner was ready, and he sniffed appreciatively as he walked into the room. Smells good, Belle. Thanks. The worst dialogue.
It doesn't smell like shit.
We ate in silence for a few minutes. It wasn't uncomfortable. Neither of us was bothered by the quiet. In some ways, we were well suited for living together.
You know what? I'm going to say this now. I like this part in the movie better because they go to that diner.
Yeah.
And then we have the teenage boys being teenage boys in the background.
I just love Billy Burke as Charlie.
I know.
That was the only good part about the movie.
It was, again, it's like I would 100% read the whole series in Charlie's point of view.
So how did you like school? Have you made any friends? He asked as he was taking seconds. Well, I have a few classes with a girl named Jessica. I sit with her friends at lunch. And there's this boy, Mike. He's very friendly. Everybody seems pretty nice, with one outstanding exception. That must be Mike Newton. Mike Newton!
Mike Newton.
Nice kid. Nice family. His dad owns the sporting goods store just outside of town. He makes a good living.
This just reminds me of how in the second book, how she completely ditches her friend.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Remember, like, she was at the sporting goods store. She had, like, a flyer for, like, the wolf, like, wolf preservation or something like that. Or was this the third one?
Oh, I don't remember, but I know what part you're talking about.
She ditches her friends a lot.
She does, which is really concerning.
Which, again, brings back to the whole, like, why are they giving her second chances?
Oh, right. He makes a good living off of all the backpackers who come through here. Do you know the Cullen family? I asked hesitantly. Dr. Cullen's family? Sure, Dr. Cullen's a great man.
He's pretty young, too.
He is! Weirdly young!
Hasn't aged a day since he got here.
The kids are a little different. They don't seem to fit in very well at school. Charlie surprised me by looking angry. People in this town, he muttered. Dr. Cullen is a brilliant surgeon who could probably work in any hospital in the world. make 10 times the salary he gets here," he continued, getting louder. "We're lucky to have him. Lucky that his wife wanted to live in a small town.
And build a Southern-style house in the middle of the woods."
"Ah, right? Ha!" said no architect ever.
"Yeah.
He's an asset to the community, and all of those kids are well-behaved and polite. I had my doubts when they first moved in, with all those adopted teenagers who are also, like, all hooking up, and it's kind of weird, but we're just getting, you know..."
"It's weird and culty and a little bit incesty, but we're not going to focus on that because he's a really good surgeon. Gave me a shot of whiskey last time I went in. I didn't ask why he had whiskey in his office."
"But they're all very mature. I haven't had one speck of trouble from any of them. That's more than I can say for some of the children of some folks who have lived in this town for generations. And they stick together the way a family should. Camping trips every other weekend. Just because they're newcomers, people have to talk. They're at the cult sing-along with everyone from Handbook for Mortals."
The cult camping. Oh my god, that is another comparison. Oh my god, I didn't think about it. Think about it, Saya. The constant camping trips in Handbook for Mortals.
Oh yeah.
The constant camping trips.
Yeah.
In Twilight. It just makes more sense in Twilight.
I mean, that's why I even said something about being at the cult camping trips.
I know, I just realized it. They, like, camp adjacently towards each other, but really, there's, like, an ongoing feud between Carlisle Cullen and then Charles Spelman. Because Carlisle looks eternally young, and then Charles Spelman is getting a little potbelly and, like, all that stuff. Carlisle kind of judges him for having, like, a girlfriend young enough to be his daughter.
Yeah, we're not going to talk about that whole part. Because it was weird.
And then he ends up marrying Della in the end.
Cringe.
Yeah.
I could hear my roommates talking downstairs, and I thought Merc had gone to work, but I'm not quite sure.
Yeah.
It was the longest speech I'd ever heard Charlie make. He must feel strongly about whatever people were saying. I backpedaled. They seemed nice enough to me. I just noticed they kept to themselves. They're all very attractive, I added, trying to be more complimentary.
What the Bella, you awkward son of a gun.
I would like to join the cult sing-along, wink wink nudge nudge.
Oh god, the cult orgies.
The cult sing-along, Maya.
Yeah, where do you think the orgy takes place?
"You should see the doctor," Charlie said, laughing. "It's a good thing he's..." Oh, Charlie!
Oh, Charlie!
Oh, Charlie!
Oh, Charlie! I ship it.
Yeah. It's a good thing he's happily... Especially Billy Burke and Peter Facinelli. Like, yeah, I ship it.
Oh, wait, I ship Charlie being in the middle of that sandwich.
Yes.
Yes.
A lot of the nurses at the hospital have a hard time concentrating on their work with him around. Charlie has also experienced this.
Yes.
He comes across a body mauled by a bear in the woods, but then Dr. Cullen shows up and everybody's like, wow. It doesn't matter that there's gore and viscera everywhere.
I just now want Charlie to be in the middle of that thruple with Carlisle, Esme, and Charlie. That is now what I want out of life, and I didn't think I would say this ever in my whole fucking life now that this was mentioned. Like, oh my god, it's all I can think about now. Saya. Why have we never talked about this?
Well, you know, maybe because the story's bad enough.
That's true.
We lapsed back into silence as we finished eating. He cleared the table while I started on the dishes. He went back to the TV, and after I finished washing the dishes by hand, no dishwasher because she is a woman and she must do the chores. I went upstairs unwillingly to work on my math homework. I could feel a tradition in the making. You offered, Bella. Idiot.
I mean, it's... Yeah, no, it's... It doesn't sound like a bad thing.
That night, it was finally quiet. I fell asleep quickly, exhausted. The rest of the week was uneventful. I got used to the routine of my classes. By Friday, I was able to recognize, if not name, almost all the students at school. But she's bad with names.
I thought she was bad with names and faces and shit.
Yeah.
Maybe not faces, but names, yeah.
Who the hell knows anymore?
Yeah.
Oh, I hear Merc outside talking to the terrible Tot.
Oh my god, the notorious T.O.T.
Yeah. I can hear that he's being bad.
Isn't he always being bad?
Yes, he's always being bad.
That's just his MO. He's always bad.
In gym, the kids on my team learn not to pass me the ball and to step quickly in front of me if the other team tried to take advantage of my weakness. I happily stayed out of their way. Edward Cullen didn't come back to school. Every day, I watched anxiously until the rest of the Cullens entered the cafeteria without him. Then I could relax and join in the lunchtime conversation. Mostly it centered around a trip to the La Push Ocean Park in 2 weeks that Mike was putting together. I was invited and I had agreed to go, more out of politeness than desire. Beaches should be hot and dry. Fuck you, Bella.
Not all of them are hot and dry. Sometimes they're pretty nice when they're like cold and I don't know.
Well, we obviously live in the Great Lakes region. Like, it's not always hot and dry.
Oh, yeah. When the sand is hot, it fucking hurts.
Yeah.
Like, talk to the people who go up to Duluth just to take pictures of the lake when it's all foggy and shit. Then there's also, like, the Boundary Waters, Itasca, all that fun stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
By Friday, I was perfectly comfortable entering my biology class, no longer worried that Edward would be there. For all I knew, he had dropped out of school. I tried not to think about him. You're doing a very bad job there, Bella.
A very bad job.
I already read that, but I couldn't totally suppress the worry that I was responsible for his continued absence, ridiculous as it seemed. My first weekend in Forks passed without incident. Charlie, unused to spending time in the usually empty house, worked most of the weekend. I cleaned the house because I am a woman and must do chores, got ahead on my homework, and wrote my mom more bogusly cheerful email. That's not grammatically correct. And wrote my mom... Boring. It's supposed to be, and wrote my mom a more bogusly cheerful email, but there's no I did drive to the library Saturday, but it was so poorly stocked that I didn't bother to get a card. I would have to make a date to visit Olympia or Seattle soon and find a good bookstore. I wondered idly what kind of gas mileage the truck got and shuddered at the thought. The rain stayed soft over the weekend, quiet. So I was able to sleep well. People greeted me in the parking lot Monday morning. I didn't know all of their names. We know. We know, Bella.
Wait, I thought she said that she memorized all of their names.
She just can't decide. But I waved back and smiled at everyone. It was colder this morning, but happily not raining. In English, Mike took his accustomed seat by my side. We had a pop quiz on Wuthering Heights. It was straightforward, very easy.
Yeah. Okay. All these little details, I never realized how boring they actually are.
Oh, right?
Yeah.
It's so boring.
It really is.
All in all, I was feeling a lot more comfortable than I had thought I would feel by this point. More comfortable than I had ever expected to feel here. When we walked out of class, the air was full of swirling bits of white. I could hear people shouting excitedly to each other. The wind bit at my cheeks, my nose. "Wow," Mike said, "it's snowing." I looked at the little cotton fluffs that were building up along the sidewalk and swirling erratically past my face. Ew. Snow. There went my good day. He looked surprised. "Don't you like snow?" "No, that means it's too cold to rain, obviously. Besides, I thought it was supposed to come down in flakes, you know, each one unique and all that. These just look like the ends of Q-tips."
Okay, no one who lives in the United States can be this stupid about snow, but then again, it's the United States.
Yeah.
Even if you do live in the desert.
You have to look at them closely, Bella.
Well, even when they're coming down in, like, the whole, like, puff or whatever, they don't have the individual flakeness to it. Because it's, like, it's the whole, it must not be, like, it's cold enough for it to not come out as rain. But it's, like, I don't know, it's just, it's also too warm for it to, like, be frosty. Instead, it's just, like, white, white slush coming from the sky.
Yeah. "Haven't you ever seen snow before?" he asked incredulously. "Sure I have. I paused on TV." Mike laughed, and then a big squishy ball of dripping snow smacked into the back of his head. We both turned to see where it came from. I had my suspicions about Eric, who was walking away, his back toward us, in the wrong direction for his next class. Mike apparently had the same notion. He bent over and began scraping together a pile of the white mush. "I'll see you at lunch, okay?" I kept walking as I spoke. Once people start throwing wet stuff, I go inside.
Eh. But also, I want to hear about the snowball fight.
He just nodded.
That actually sounds interesting.
I know, but no, we just have to talk about Bella.
And Edward.
He just nodded, his eyes on Eric's retreating figure. Throughout the morning, everyone chattered excitedly about the snow. Apparently, it was the first snowfall of the new year.
Which is always exciting. Well, it wouldn't be the first snowfall of the new year, depending on... Wait, what month is it again?
I don't know.
What?
My guess is that it's sometime in the fall.
I thought it was in the fall, too, but... I don't know now. Because it wouldn't be the first snowfall of the new year if it was in the fall.
Yeah.
But then again, no one's that excited about snow falling in, like, January.
No. I don't understand.
Did she mean season?
I don't think she knows what she means.
Oh, boy.
I kept my mouth shut. Sure, it was drier than rain until it melted in your socks. I walked alertly to the cafeteria with Jessica after Spanish. Mush balls were flying everywhere. I kept a binder in my hands, ready to use it as a shield if necessary. Jessica thought I was hilarious, but something in my expression kept her from lobbing a snowball at me herself. Mike caught up to us as we walked in the doors, laughing, with ice melting the spikes in his hair. He and Jessica were talking animatedly about the snow fight as we got in line to buy food. I glanced toward that table in the corner out of habit, and then I froze where I stood. There were five people at the table. Oh my god, that's one more than four.
Oh no.
An uneven number. Jessica pulled on my arm. Hello, Bella, what do you want? I looked down. My ears were hot. I had no reason to feel self-conscious. I reminded myself I hadn't done anything wrong. What's with Bella? Mike asked Jessica. Nothing, I answered. I'll just get a soda today. I caught up to the end of the line. Aren't you hungry? Jessica asked. Actually, I feel a little sick, I said, my eyes still on the floor. I waited for them to get their food and then followed them to a table, my eyes on my feet. I sipped my soda slowly, my stomach churning. Twice, Mike asked, with unnecessary concern, how I was feeling. I told him it was nothing, but I was wondering if I should play it up and escape to the nurse's office for the next hour.
Unnecessary concern? Bella, are you not used to people, like, actually being concerned about you?
I think so.
Which is kind of sad.
Ridiculous. I shouldn't have to run away. I decided to permit myself one glance at the Cullen family's table.
If he was glaring. Just a glance. Like a crumb.
A crumb. A shred of glance.
A crumb of glance.
If he was glaring at me, I would skip biology like the coward I was. I kept my head down and glanced up under my lashes. None of them were looking this way. I lifted my head a little. They were laughing. Edward, Jasper, and Emmett all had their hair entirely saturated with melting snow. Alice and Rosalie were leaning away as Emmett shook his dripping hair toward them like a dog.
That's just okay. That I like that. I like that detail.
That was my addition for people who don't know.
Oh. Oh, that's great.
They were enjoying the snowy day just like everyone else. Only they looked more like a scene from a movie than the rest of us. But aside from the laughter and playfulness, there was something different, and I couldn't quite pinpoint what the difference was. I examined Edward the most carefully. His skin was less pale, I decided, flushed from the snow fight, maybe. The circles under his eyes were less noticeable, but there was something more. I pondered, staring, trying to isolate the change. Bella, what are you staring at? Jessica intruded, her eyes following my stare. At that precise moment, his eyes flashed over to meet mine. I dropped my head, letting my hair fall to conceal my face. I was sure, though, in the instant our eyes met, that he didn't look harsh or unfriendly as he had the last time I'd seen him. He looked merely curious again, unsatisfied in some way. Ugh, do you want to take over?
Unsatisfied in some way. Edward Cullen is staring at you, Jessica giggled in my ear. He doesn't look angry, does he? I couldn't help asking. No, she said, sounding confused by my question. Should he be? I don't think he likes me, I confided. I felt queasy. I put my head down on my arm. The Cullens don't like anybody. Well, they don't notice anybody enough to like them. But he's still staring at you. Stop looking at him, I hissed. She snickered, but she looked away. I raised my head enough to make sure that she did, contemplating violence if she resisted. Okay, that's actually funny.
That was a good one.
That was a good one. Mike interrupted us then. He was planning an epic battle of the blizzard in the parking lot after school and wanted us to join. Jessica agreed enthusiastically. Okay, everything is better when it's with the humans.
I know. So much more interesting.
so much more interesting when she's actually interacting with human beings. God. Jessica, the way she looked at Mike left little doubt that she would be up for anything he suggested.
Ooh.
I kept silent. I would have to hide in the gym until the parking lot cleared. For the rest of the lunch hour, I very carefully kept my eyes at my own table. I decided to honor the bargain I'd made with myself. But since he didn't look angry, I would go to biology. My stomach did frightened little flips at the thought of sitting next to him again, like literal little circus flips.
Yep. It's now twisted.
Yeah, she's gonna have to go see a doctor about it.
Yeah.
I didn't really want to walk to class with Mike as usual. He seemed to be a popular target for the snowball snipers. Again, I actually like this. But when we went to the door, everyone besides me groaned in unison. It was raining, washing all traces of snow away in clear, icy ribbons down the side of the walkway. I pulled my hood up, secretly pleased. You wet blanket. I would be free to go straight home after gym. Mike kept up a string of complaints on the way to building four. Once inside the classroom, I saw with relief that my table was still empty. Mr. Bruce Banner was walking around the room, distributing one microscope and box of slides to each table. Class didn't start for a few minutes, and the room buzzed with conversation. I kept my eyes away from the doors, doodling idly on the cover of my notebook. It was literal dicks. I heard very clearly when the chair next to me moved, but my eyes stayed carefully focused on the pattern I was drawing. It was literally just a dick jizzing.
Yeah.
"Hello," said a quiet musical voice. That's a fucking description. I looked up, stunned that he was speaking to me. He was sitting as far away from me as the desk allowed, but his chair was angled toward me. His hair was dripping wet, disheveled. Even so, he looked like he had just finished shooting a commercial for hair gel. He's got the anime spikes going.
He does.
His dazzling face was friendly, open, a slight smile on his flawless lips, but his eyes were careful. "My name is Edward Cullen," he continued. "I didn't have a chance to introduce myself last week. You must be Bella Swan because everyone knows
everyone. Everyone knows everyone."
My mind was spinning with confusion. Had I made the whole thing? Had I made up the whole thing? He was perfectly polite now. I had to speak. Again, he was just constipated and he finally got the shit out. There wasn't a rancid fart in the cafeteria that day. I had to speak. He was waiting, but I couldn't think of anything conversational to say. "How do you know my name?" I stammered. He laughed a soft, enchanting laugh. "Oh, I think everyone knows your name. The whole town's been waiting for you to arrive. Oh my god, it's a cult. Oh my god, it's like Far Cry 5.
I don't want it."
I grimaced. I knew it was something like that. "No," I persisted stupidly. "I meant, why did you call me Bella?" He seemed confused. "Do you prefer Isabella?" "No, I like Bella," I said. "But I think my dad, must call me Isabella behind my back. That's what everyone here seems to know me as," I tried to explain, feeling like an utter moron.
Are an utter moron, Bella.
He let it drop. I looked away awkwardly. Thankfully, Mr. Bruce Banner started class at that moment. I tried to concentrate as he explained the lab we would be doing today. The slides in the box were out of order. Working as lab partners, we had to separate the slides of onion root tip cells into the phases of mitosis they represented and label them accordingly. We weren't supposed to use our books. In 20 minutes, he would be coming around to see who had it right. "Get started," he commanded. Dang. "Ladies first, partner?" Edward asked. I looked up to see him smiling, a crooked smile so beautiful that I could only stare at him like an idiot.
Been there before.
Or I could start if you wish. God damn it, Dread Pirate Robertson and Wesleying, damn it. The smile faded. He was obviously wondering if I was mentally competent. Oh my god.
Clearly you are not, Bella. Let's just go with that.
No, I said, flushing. I'll go ahead. I was showing off just a little. I'd already done this lab, and I knew what I was looking for. It should be easy. I snapped the first slide into place under the microscope and adjusted it quickly to the 40x objective. I studied the slide briefly.
Yes.
My assessment was confident. Prophase. Do you mind if I look? He asked as I began to remove the slide. His hand caught mine to stop me as he asked. His fingers were ice cold, like he had been holding them in a snowdrift before class. But that wasn't why he jerked my hand away so quickly. When he touched me, it stung my hand as if electric current had passed through us. I'm sorry, he muttered. He literally just shocked her because he had been like... There was a carpet and he took off his shoes.
He was rubbing his feet on the floor.
Yep, just for this moment. However, he continued to reach for the microscope. I watched him, still staggered as he examined the slide for an even shorter time than I had. Prophase, he agreed. God, this is such dry. This is so dry. Writing it neatly in the first space on our worksheet, he swiftly switched out the first slide for the second and then glanced at it cursorily?
Never seen that word before.
Anaphase, he murmured, writing it down as he spoke. I kept my voice indifferent. May I? He smirked and pushed the microscope to me. I looked through the eyepiece eagerly, only to be disappointed. Dang it. He was right. Slide three. Rude. Yeah, she just wants him to be wrong because he's so perfect. I held out my hand without looking at him. He handed it to me. It seemed like he was being careful not to touch my skin again. I took the most fleeting look I could manage. Interface. I passed him the microscope before he could ask for it. He took a swift peek and then wrote it down. I would have written it while he looked, but his clear, elegant script intimidated me. I didn't want to spoil the page with my clumsy scrawl. Okay. Edward, when he was turned, was not a rich man, nor do I think he was an eloquent man, so I'm surprised he even knows how to write.
Still, he's had like 100 years to get it.
I'm still surprised. I'm surprised that it looks neat. Let's just say that.
I mean, when you have 100 years to get it right, Maya, like it, you
but
know.
But still, it's this whole, like, yes, you have 100 years to make it look right, but at the same time, it's like, the whole, like, muscle memory thing comes into effect, and you can't really, it's hard to correct your handwriting.
Yeah.
I didn't want to spoil the page with my clumsy scrawl. We were finished before anyone else was close. I could see Mike and his partner comparing two slides again and again, and another group had their book open under the table. Smart. And again, we don't have a 100-plus-year vampire, and someone has already done the lab doing this, so shut up.
Yeah. He's probably done this lab, like, countless times.
22.
Specifically.
Yep. Hold on, I had to drink some water. Which left me with nothing to do but try not to look at him. Unsuccessfully, I glanced up and he was staring at me, the same inexplicable look of frustration in his eyes.
That's just his face.
Yeah, he has resting, whatever that face is called. I mean, he has resting constipation face.
That's exactly what I was about to say.
Suddenly, I identified the subtle difference in his face. Did you get contacts? I blurted out unthinkingly. He seemed puzzled by my unexpected question. No? Oh, I mumbled. I thought there was something different about your eyes. He shrugged and looked away. In fact, I was sure there was something different. I vividly remembered the flat black color of his eyes and the last time he glared at me. The color was striking against the background of his pale skin and his auburn hair. Today, his eyes were a completely different color, a strange other darker than butterscotch, but with the same golden tone. I didn't understand how that could be, unless he was lying for some reason about the context, or maybe Forks was making me crazy in the literal sense of the word, or maybe you were just kind of already a little bit bonkers.
Yeah.
I looked down. His hands were clenched into hard fists again. Mr. Bruce Banner came to our table then to see what we were working, why we weren't working. He looked over our shoulders to glance at the completed lab and then stared more intently to check the answers. So, Edward, didn't you think Isabella should get a chance with the microscope? Mr. Banner asked. Bella, Edward corrected automatically. Actually, she identified three of the five. Mr. Banner looked at me now. His expression was skeptical. Have you done this lab before? He asked. I smiled sheepishly. Not with Onion Roof. Whitefish Blastula? Yeah. Mr. Banner nodded. Were you in an advanced placement program in Phoenix? Yes. Well, he said after a moment, I guess it's good you two are lab partners, he mumbled something else as he walked away. After he left, I began doodling on my notebook again, just drawing an even bigger dick. It's too bad about the snow, isn't it? Edward asked. I had the feeling that he was forcing himself to make small talk with me. Paranoia swept over me again. It was like he had heard my conversation with Jessica at lunch and was trying to prove me wrong. Not really, I answered honestly, instead of pretending to be normal like everyone else. Oh, shut up! I was still trying to dislodge the stupid feeling of suspicion, and I couldn't concentrate. You don't like the cold? It wasn't a question. Or the wet. Forks must be a difficult place for you to live, he mused. You have no idea, I muttered darkly.
But she just said she was starting to feel comfortable now.
I guess that was a lie. The test results are in. That was a lie. He looked fascinated by what I said. Oh God, my throat. For some reason, I couldn't imagine. His face was such a distraction that I tried not to look at it any more than courtesy absolutely demanded. Why did you come here, then? No one had asked me that, not straight out like he did, demanding. It's complicated. I think I can keep up, he pressed. I paused for a long moment and made the mistake of meeting his gaze. His dark gold eyes confused me, and I answered without thinking. My mother got remarried, I said. That doesn't sound so complex, he disagreed, but was suddenly sympathetic. When did that happen? Sympathetic about her mom getting remarried? When did that happen? Okay. Last September, my voice sounded sad, even to me. And you don't like him? Edward summarized, his tone still kind. No, Phil is fine. Too young, maybe, but nice enough. Why didn't you stay with them? I couldn't fathom his interest, but he continued to stare at me with penetrating eyes, as if my dull life story was somehow vitally important. Phil travels a lot. He plays ball for a living. What ball, we don't know. I half smiled. Have I heard of him? He asked, smiling in response. Probably not. He doesn't play well. Strictly minor league baseball. He moves around a lot. And your mother sent you here so that she could travel with him? He said in an assumption, again, not a question. My chin raised a fraction. No, she did not send me here. I sent myself. His eyebrows knit together. I don't understand. What's there to not understand, Edward, you fucking idiot?
I don't understand either.
I think I get it in the sense of she didn't want to be the dead weight or make it more difficult for them, because it can be hard constantly moving around if you're in school.
Sure.
And so she decided to stay with a parent who's in one place. Like, I know we kind of questioned this in the previous chapter, but it's still like, I don't know. It's like she didn't have to, but I could see where this would be the easiest option.
Yeah.
And he seemed unnecessarily frustrated by that fact. I sighed. Why was I explaining this to him? It's because he can't read her mind. That's why he's asking. Because spoilers. He can't read her mind.
Spoilers!
He continued to stare at me with obvious curiosity. She stayed with me at first, but she missed him. It made her unhappy, so I decided it was time to spend some quality time with Charlie. My voice was glum by the time I finished. "But you're unhappy," he pointed out. "And?" I challenged. "That doesn't seem fair," he shrugged, but his eyes were still intense. I laughed without humor. "Hasn't anyone ever told you that life isn't fair?" "I believe I have heard that somewhere before," he agreed dryly. "So that's all," I insisted, wondering why he was still staring at me that way. "I mean, she could have..." I guess Renee was responsible in the sense of she wasn't leaving her daughter alone all the time. But yeah. We still need to point out the fact that Bella was doing more of the parenting to Renee. So it wasn't necessarily Renee's staying with Bella because Bella needs to be parented. It's because Renee's staying because she can't fucking take care of herself. Also, I feel like Renee being on the road with Phil would make it kind of... because then he'd have to take care of her.
Yeah, it just really doesn't make sense.
It just sounds dumb. So that's all, I insisted, wondering why he was still staring at me that way. His gaze became appraising. "You put on a good show," he said slowly, "but I'd be willing to bet that you're suffering more than you let anyone see." Fuck off! Oh my god.
Thanks.
That's so fucking invasive. Not gonna lie, if anyone said that to me right fucking now, I'd be fucking bawling my eyes out.
I feel like I'd be like, no shit.
It's kind of like that whole, Sherlock. You know, when you're not okay and then someone asks if you're okay and you just start crying. Yeah, it's like that.
I honestly don't know what she has to suffer about.
I mean, it's not easy being a teenager, that, and she had this whole sudden change in her life, so that is a little bit drastic and complicated and honestly utterly terrifying. I grimaced at him, resisting the impulse to stick out my tongue like a 5-year-old and look away. I mean, I would have. "Am I wrong?" I tried to ignore him. "I didn't think so," he murmured smugly. "Oh, shut the fuck up." "Why does it matter to you?" I asked, irritated. I kept my eyes away, watching the teacher make his rounds.
Oh my goodness.
That's a very good...
Children are zooming.
Yeah. "That's a very good question," he muttered so quietly that I wondered if he was talking to himself. However, after a few seconds of silence, I decided that was the only answer I was going to get. I sighed, scowling at the blackboard. "Am I annoying you?" he asked. He sounded amused. I glanced at him without thinking and told the truth again. "Not exactly. I'm more annoyed at myself. My face is so easy to read. My mother always calls me her open book." Title drop of the chapter! I frowned. "On the contrary, I find you very difficult to read. God fucking damn it. Despite everything that I had said, he guessed he sounded like he meant it. "You must be a good reader then," I replied. Usually, he smiled widely, flashing a set of perfect ultra-white teeth. Mr. Bruce Banner called the class to order, then, and I turned with relief to listen. I was in disbelief that I had just explained my dreary life to this bizarre, beautiful boy who may or may not despise me. He'd seemed engrossed in our conversation. "If he didn't like you, he wouldn't have asked you questions, Bella. Shut up, he likes you, get over it." But now I could see. From the corner of my eye, he was leaning away from me again, his hands gripping the edge of the table with unmistakable tension. Maybe he just doesn't like being this close to people.
Yeah, jeez.
I tried to appear attentive as Mr. Bruce Banner illustrated with transparencies on an overhead projector. Oh my god, remember those?
Right, haven't seen one of those in a long time. It's
been years. What I had seen without difficulty through the microscope. But my thoughts were unmanageable. When the bell finally rang, Edward rushed as swiftly and as gracefully from the room as he had last Monday, like an antelope. And like last Monday, I stared after him in amazement. Mike skipped quickly to my side, like literally skipped, and picked up my books for me. I imagined him with a wagging tail. Okay, that's also a little bit weirdly invasive. I don't know how to explain it. Like someone picking up my stuff for me when it's like, dude, like, don't, please. It's weird. Stop. You're invading my privacy. Get out of my fucking bubble.
I had far too many things to carry when I was in high school. So, I mean, same. I would have been like, please.
It's like I had a folder, I'd have like my textbook, and then I'd have like, if it was an English class, it'd be like my book for the class and then my book for my personal reading. I had a lot. Like,
please take it. I don't want to hold on to it anymore. My arms are tired. I am tired.
I just had a bunch of shit. That was awful, he groaned. They all looked exactly the same. You're lucky you had Cullen for a partner. I didn't have any trouble with it, I said, stung by his assumption. I regretted the snub instantly. I've done the lab before, though, I added before he could get his feelings hurt. Cullen seemed friendly enough today, he commented as we shrugged on into our raincoats. He didn't seem pleased about it. I tried to sound indifferent. I wonder what was with his what was with him last Monday. I couldn't concentrate on Mike's chatter as we walked to gym, and PE didn't do too much to hold my attention either. Mike was on my team today. He chivalrously covered my position as well as his own, so my wool gathering was only interrupted when it was my turn to serve. Okay, now we're venturing into Mike kind of being overtly nice guy.
I mean, I'm not very good at volleyball either, so...
I know, but it's kind of like... I see where this is going. Also, who uses the term wool gathering? My team ducked warily out of the way every time I was up. The rain was just a mist as I walked to the parking lot. But I was happier when I was in the dry cab. I got the heater running, for once not caring about the mind-numbing roar of the engine. I unzipped my jacket and put the hood down and fluffed my damp hair out so the heater could dry it on the way home, because that happens.
Yeah.
I looked around me to make sure it was clear. That's when I noticed the still white figure. Edward Cullen was leaning against the front door of the Volvo, three cars down from me, staring intently in my direction. I swiftly looked away and threw the truck into reverse, almost hitting a rusty Toyota Corolla in my haste. See? Traffic accident every week! Lucky for the Toyota, I stomped on the brake in time. I was just the sort of car that my truck would make scrap metal of. I took a deep breath, still looking out the other side of my car, and cautiously pulled out again with greater success. I stared straight ahead as I passed the Volvo, from a peripheral peek, I swear I saw him laughing.
Maybe he's laughing at a joke.
Maybe he's laughing. Maybe he's trying to cover a really rancid fart. I don't know why that's my answer to everything, but it's just like a really rancid fart.
Oh my goodness, Bean, that is a lot to say.
Oh boy, what is the Bean saying?
I don't know. He's just obviously mowing at Merc.
He must want the wet food.
Barry doesn't really like wet food.
He still wants it today, specifically. Why? We don't know.
It upsets his tummy, and then he throws up.
Maybe he needs to throw up.
He's got a sensitive tummy.
He does have a sensitive tum-tum. Nim, on the other hand, is just being a sleepy little baby.
Oh.
He's a snoozy little baby. Aw. Well, anyway, that was Twilight. Chapter 2. Oh god, how are we gonna make it through the rest of this? I know dude, it's gonna take forever.
You need to go.